Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidinil mustafa. Sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathira. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واضرب لهم مثلا الرجلين جعلنا لأحدهما جنتين من أعناب وحففناهما بنخل وجعلنا بينهما زرعا كلتا الجنتين آتت أكلها ولم تظلم منه شيئا وفجرنا خلالهما نهرا وكان له ثمر فقال لصاحبه وهو يهاوره أنا أكثر منك مالا وأعز نفرا صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام, most respected brothers and all those listening, over the past 3 or 4 Fridays or Jumu'ahs, I have been discussing pride. And I mentioned very clearly that pride is a killer disease. Just as we say that in these days AIDS is a killer disease. Millions of people are going to die because of AIDS. And I also mentioned that I had received a call where a person requested that I speak on AIDS every day, or we should tell all the imams that every day we should speak on AIDS after every first salat for about 5 minutes to warn the people of the consequences of this killer disease. So it shows that that person considers that as a serious disease, as a disease that will take away the lives of millions of people. So the person is requesting that we should be speaking on that. So I did explain that indeed we speak on it almost all the time when we warn people that they should stay far, far away from adultery, from fornication, from extramarital relationship. They should stay far away from zina, because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned that when people will indulge in zina, when they will indulge in obscenity, shamelessness, I'm just giving you the meaning, that when people will indulge in all kinds of haram with regards to their sexual behavior, so then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will unleash an azab of a kind that people will be afflicted with such a sickness, such a disease, which their forefathers also didn't even hear of. We can see that people are trying to find solution to the problems, but instead of finding a solution, it seems to be worsening. Why? Because they are saying that there is nothing wrong with zina. If the parties are consenting to zina, there's nothing wrong, as long as they take some kind of precaution. Now that is not what Islam says. Islam says stay far, far away. Don't even go close to zina. وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا. But that is not my subject. What I was saying is this, that I was talking about pride, that pride has destroyed many nations of the past. Pride and arrogance has destroyed many, many people of the past. Shaitan was destroyed because of his pride. He also said, "Ana khayrum min," I am better than him. This better than him, that is pride. Pride is not wearing some good clothes or good shoes or traveling in some good car. That is not pride. But when the person looks down upon the other, when he considers himself as superior, when he considers himself as being afzal, better than the other person in the eye of Allah Ta'ala, because of his wealth, because of his knowledge, because of his piety, because of his salat, because of his zakat, because of the charities that he gives, because of the zikr, tilawat and ibadat that he makes, because of his engagement in dini activities and programs, Now the person thinks that I am better than the other person. Now this better than, that is pride. The superiority complex that a person suffers from. I mentioned clearly that to consider yourself as having more knowledge than somebody else is not pride. If the matriculant thinks that I have got more knowledge than the one in grade one, then that's a reality. We can't call that pride. Or the person who is a first year student in a Darul Uloom, if the one in the final year thinks that I know Bukhari Sharif and I know more than the student in the first year, then that's not pride, that's a reality, that's haqiqat. But if the one in Bukhari Sharif thinks that I am better than that person in the eye of Allah Ta'ala, now that is pride. Because he doesn't know what is going to happen to him tomorrow. Practice is essential on that knowledge which he has gained. And whilst he is practicing also, we don't know when it can be snatched away. Aise vaise kaise kaise ho gaye, kaise kaise aise vaise ho gaye. How many people, they were aise vaise, they were drunkards, they were dakha rukas, they were those who were indulging in adultery, fornication and all kinds of haram. But Allah Ta'ala gave them the tawfiq, they made sincere tawbah from their sins, and so many from amongst those who were crooks and those who were sinful even became great walis of Allah Ta'ala. But provided they returned to whomsoever, whatever was due, then only you can call that a complete change. If a person says that I brought about a complete reformation and change in my life, I was a very bad person, but I brought about a complete change, then what does this complete change mean? That complete change doesn't mean that the person from the day that he made tawbah now, he started his salat, he started giving his zakat, he started performing hajj, he started behaving better than before, fulfilling the rights of others. So now that is from the day that he started. So Allah Ta'ala will forgive the sin. If he didn't pay zakat in the past, Allah Ta'ala will forgive the sin of having not paid that zakat. But now he has to start paying that zakat. If he caused any injury, harm to any person without justification, then Allah Ta'ala will forgive that sin, that time what he committed. But now he has to ask that person for forgiveness. If he is owing people monies, if he is in debts, if he has stolen people's monies, if he has digested and devoured the inheritance of others, so then this person cannot say that I will take some renis or I'll take some fruit salt and digest everything. That fruit salt and renis is not going to digest that. He will have to return to whomsoever, whatever is due. I always say it must not be like that cat. After eating up many, many rats, then the cat was told that go to Arafat. Because we have heard that if you shed tears in Arafat, all your sins get forgiven. So it proceeded to Arafat and shed some tears there. And then thought that all my sins are forgiven. It's just an example. So many people think like that. Devour the properties of people. Do injustice. Cause harm to others. Take away the rightful possession of others. And then after that, go to Arafat, shed few tears and think everything is maaf. So this pride is considering oneself better than, or rejecting haq. Or rejecting haq. When the person is rejecting haq, when truth is coming, irrespective of which source it is coming from, even if a little child has to say that this is haq, and we know that it is haq, it is the Quran and the Sunnah. It is from the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So no matter how involved we may be, no matter how deeply sunk we may be, or no matter how much we may be drowning in some sin which that person is now pointing out and saying that you are doing this which is wrong, we must accept, we must acknowledge, we must confess, we must say, yes indeed, I am grateful to you that you are telling me that what I am doing is wrong. Where do you have people in these days who will point out faults and say that this is something that will lead you to the fire of hell and cause you the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala? Where do we have people like that? Therefore I appreciate, so make dua for me. Ask Allah Ta'ala to forgive me and Allah Ta'ala to find a way out for me. I seem to be overpowered by my nafs and by shaitan. So therefore you make dua. This is what the person should do, even if he can't come out from it. And keep on asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness and make an effort to get out of it. But to reject that person's advice and suggestion and say, Naseha mat kar nasihat dil mera ghabrawe hai. Naseha mat kar nasihat dil mera ghabrawe hai. Main samjhu hoon unko dushman jo mujhe samjhawe hai. He speaks in that Purvi Zuban. He says that, Nasiha, O you who is making nasihat to me, mat kar nasihat dil mera ghabrawe hai. When you tell me to take interest is haram, when you tell me to commit adultery and fornication is haram, when you tell me that to devour the properties of orphans and widows is haram, when you tell me to sell liquor, to sell gambling tickets or anything of that nature, or promote cinemas, theaters, gambling dens, all these type of things is haram. So dil mera ghabrawe hai, my heart begins to palpitate. Why? Because I begin to see destruction of my property, loss in my earnings, if I have to obey you and I have to follow you. So nasiha mat kar nasihat dil mera ghabrawe hai. My heart begins to palpitate, don't make me nasihat. Main samjhu hoon unko dushman jo mujhe samjhawe hai. I consider that person as my dushman, as my enemy. The person who tries to explain to me, the person who tries to invite me towards good, the person who is restraining me from haram, then I consider that person as my enemy. So that is what we mean by rejection of haqq. So I've been discussing this over the past 3 weeks, many things I discussed, that pride is also a killer disease. It has brought about destruction. The first thing that shaitan said was, Ana khayru min, that I am better than Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, why must I make sajda to him? On one occasion, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was going to Allah Ta'ala. So shaitan tells him that when you go to Allah Ta'ala, tell him to make me maaf. I did not make sajda to Adam alayhi salam, tell him to make me maaf. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, all right, when I go, I will tell Allah Ta'ala. So when he went to Allah Ta'ala, we know Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was Kalimullah. So he mentioned whatever shaitan had requested. Allah Ta'ala said, all right, I told him to make sajda, he refused to make. So now tell him to go to the qabr of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and make sajda there. Then I will make him maaf. So shaitan said, when I didn't make sajda to him when he was alive, where am I going to make sajda to him now when he is dead? So that same pride. So this pride is a very dangerous disease. And from different corners it comes. It comes due to different things also. Our ibadat brings pride in us. Our knowledge brings pride in us. One is self-esteem. I explained this, self-esteem is something different. That the person, he must acquire, he must look forward to self-esteem. That is a different thing. That is not pride. Where the person is not complaining after looking at the ni'mats that Allah Ta'ala has given to others, he is not complaining. That why did you give that person? Why you didn't give me? Or what he has got now, he is not proud about it. He is making shukr of it. So when you make shukr in abundance over the ni'mats that you have, then that is the opposite of pride. Because pride is a disease which strikes only those people's hearts who are stupid and foolish. Because they truly believe that whatever we have in our possession is of our own doing. And we must never ever think that if the person is going to humble himself, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Man tawada'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. The person who will humble himself, Allah Ta'ala will give him elevation. Humility is a sifat of the heart. Humility is not just bowing our head down and walking. In fact, one young person was walking with his back bent and walking like a sickly person. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala reprimanded him. Why are you walking like that? You are a young person, you are fit, you are healthy, you must walk straight. Pride is a sifat of the heart. That means the person in his heart now he thinks that I am somebody, I am better than somebody. And tawazu is also sifat of the heart. That in his heart he considers himself as a person who does not deserve any position, any post. He does not deserve it. If he gets it and he is trying to achieve it, it is only the fazal of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is the one who has blessed him with that knowledge. If we have to look at all the gifts that a person has, whether it is of knowledge, whether it is of wealth, whether it is of property, whether it is of post and position, whatever it may be, it will boil down to three things. How did he acquire it? It will boil down to three things. The bottom line is that either the person achieved it due to his own intelligence. Now if he achieved it due to his own intelligence, then who gave him that intelligence? When he came from into this world, with what intelligence he came? He couldn't even change his own napkin. The person was so muhtaj, so dependent on the mother. There was no such thing as he had some great honor and position at that time, or knowledge at that time. And that chip, who did put that chip into his head? I always say the person who made the computer chip, we say, what a great invention and what a great discovery and what great technology. Indeed it is, and we must make use of the technology. Don't use it for haram purposes. There's nothing wrong if the person uses it for good purposes. But our problem is that we will make use of the technology for haram purposes. And then we will say that how can Shariat stop us from this? So Shariat is not stopping from making use of technology. These were the fields in which Muslims excelled. They excelled in all these fields at one time. But we took all the, what they vomited out, we took it. And all the good, we left it out. So either he got it through his intelligence. So this chip Allah Ta'ala first put into the brains of that person who invented the computer chip. Then he was able to invent that chip. So if Allah Ta'ala takes away that intelligence, the person will be in an asylum. He will be in an asylum. We'll call that person madman. He's a madman. Stay far away from him. He could be violent. He could do this. He could do that. Nobody will trust him in his business, in his shop, nothing. They won't give his daughter to him in marriage. So if he achieved it through his intelligence, that Allah Ta'ala is the one who blessed him with that intelligence. So he should be making more shukr of Allah Ta'ala. He should be showing more gratitude to Allah Ta'ala. He should be more obedient to Allah Ta'ala and his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because Allah Ta'ala blessed him with his intelligence. So either whatever he's got it through his intelligence. Or he got it through his hard work. The person says he worked very hard. Physical effort he put. One is the person was very intelligent. He didn't do much physical work. He used his brains and he made money. And the other is the person had to put a lot of physical effort. Hard work. The bichara was working from morning till evening. And he made his money. And he was able to buy a house and buy a car and whatever he achieved. So that physical effort that he puts in, who gave him that strength in his body? His hands, his feet, his eyes. Who gave him all that? Once again, it's Allah Ta'ala. No matter whichever way he looks at it, it is not in his control. How many cases recently we are hearing of, the person is fit and healthy and 2 minutes later we say he ended up in hospital. What happened? Paralyzed. What happened? Brain tumor. What happened? Heart failed. What happened? Lung and liver collapsed. How many cases? Young, fit people. So who is it that is keeping the heart, liver, lungs, bladder, kidneys? So many parts of our bodies, Allah Ta'ala is keeping them functioning and not even sending us a bill in return. Just one operation, how much it costs? Let us look at just one operation of the heart, of the eyes, of the lungs, of the liver, of the kidney. And it's running into hundreds of thousands of rands now. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is keeping it functioning all the time. Those who are going for dialysis, how costly it is. And look at the amount of problem they have to go through. So who is it that is causing the filtering all the time to take place? Look at Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's nizam and his system. So should we not be bowing our head down before him? So whatever is coming through, it is coming through the fazal of Allah. So he's got strength in his body, it's the fazal of Allah Ta'ala. Or we will say he received it through inheritance. Third one is inheritance. So inheritance, who is it that caused you to be born to a certain family that you inherited that property? Who is it? Did any person have a choice? Did we sit down and send a request? Oh Allah, I request you to cause me to be born in the family of a king, in the royal family, so that when my grandfather dies, my father dies, then I may inherit his palace. Did anybody have that choice? Allah Ta'ala could have caused the person to be born in the shack of a poor old woman, of a poor woman, that when she dies, when the husband died, the son got nothing. All he got was the shack in return. So if the person got it by means of inheritance, through the father, grandfather, mother, or whoever it was Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala who caused him to be born in that family, so he got it through inheritance. And the fourth thing is gift. So who is it that puts it into the heart of the person that go and give a gift to so and so? So whichever way you look at it, it is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's gifts. So therefore the person, what right does he have to walk on the earth of Allah Ta'ala with pride and with arrogance? Yes, when the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala come, then make shukr over it. Be grateful to Allah Ta'ala. And ask him for an increase, there is no problem. We must be the best, we must excel in every field. In every field the Muslim must excel. And we must never ever think that if a person is going to be humble, if he's going to have humility, which is the sifat of the heart, that he annihilates himself, he considers nothing of himself, he considers himself to be insignificant, and he considers everything to be the bounty of Allah Ta'ala. We must never think that this person, he will achieve nothing in this world. The most humble person on the surface of the earth was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In just 23 years of his nubuwat life, like that his nur was created before even Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was created. The first thing that was created was the nur of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he was informed of his nubuwat in the 40th year in the cave of Hira. After that, if you look at it, it is just 23 years. But look at the achievement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Up till now it has baffled the writers, the historians, and anybody looking into the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are baffled. Their imagination just cannot fathom that how in 23 years to take, and that too the 13 years in Makkah Mukarramah, full of jihad and full of oppression, full of tyranny, suppression. They're not allowed to propagate the message of deen. They are beaten up, they are persecuted, they are tortured. So if you look at it, it's only the 10 years of Madina Sharif in reality. But in that 10 years also, there's the battle of Badr, there's the battle of Uhud, there's the battle of the trench, there's Sulh Hudaybiyah that has to take place, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so many different occupations. And in that short period of time, to take 124,000 to the plains of Arafat, besides the thousands that could not make it to Arafat, 124,000. And each and every one of them, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala declares, Radiallahu anhum waradu an. That means they've perfected themselves, they've purified themselves. Each and every one of them is a guiding star. بِأَيِّهِمْ اِقْتَدَيْتُمْ اِهْتَدَيْتُمْ He says, each and every sahabi of mine is a guiding star. I mentioned the other day that in those days people used to follow the stars when they are traveling by boat and ship and all, they used to follow the stars. But they knew, like, this star goes north, this one goes south, this one goes east, that one goes west. So following the stars, they went in different directions. But nobody said that follow any star and you'll reach your destination. If you want to go to America, just look at one star and keep following it, you'll reach America. If you want to go to China, just look at some stars and any star you take, you'll reach your destination. Nobody said that. Because the person may land up in some jungle or in some Qabristan. So the stars of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the Sahaba ikram radiallahu anhum ajma'in, he says, whichever one you follow, whichever one you take for your guidance, you will reach your destination. So imagine in just that 23 years, and as I said, it's more, if you have to look at it, it's just the 10 years, to prepare a jamaat like that of purified hearts, no malice, no greed, no pride, no arrogance, no evil passions and desires, the type which we have. No devouring of people's properties. No more murders and killings. No more drinking of wine. No more drinking and consuming of alcohol, which prior to Islam they were drinking like water. Look at the change that came in their life, just in that short period of time. And yet look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Every now and again you find Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam raising his hands and seeking from Allah Ta'ala, begging Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Sometimes he's in prostration and sajda. Sometimes he's in tahajjud. Sometimes he's in ishraq and chasht. Sometimes he's on the jihad and battlefield. Sometimes he's giving education and knowledge. Sometimes he's leading the imamat. He's making the imamat. Different things he's doing, but that one thing that's conspicuous in his life is that humility is so humble that we can't imagine a person more humble than Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, attributing everything to Allah Ta'ala. Take his conquest of Makkah Mukarrama. There too, if you have to read the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, then what does he say there? Same thing, attributing all success to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That he alone gave me this success. I'm not going into the details, there's no time for that. So that humility of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam did not hold him back from conquest, from propagation of the deen, and from bringing about such reformation and change in the lives of so many thousands of people. Then take the Khulafa Rashidin, the four, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, look at in his time, more than 2/3 of the world came under his control and power. Big, big empires fell at their feet. They became governors, rulers, they did everything. But Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, if you look at his life, full of humility, full of humility. So he didn't hold back anybody. This is a misconception that the person, if he's going to consider himself insignificant and not worthy of any praise and honor, and he attributes everything to Allah Ta'ala, so now he will be held back. It will destroy his self-esteem, as they say. It will increase it. Allah Ta'ala will now give him respect because he humbled himself. The seed has to go into the ground, and then you throw sand over that seed. First the seed is killed. If there's little life left in it, that is also finished. Then after that it germinates, and then one big tree grows there and you get thousands of mangoes every year. But first it had to humble itself. So pride is a killer disease. That is what I was trying to discuss. That pride is a killer disease. And Allah Ta'ala will not allow the person to enter into Jannat even if he has a mustard seed of pride in his heart. So how serious the disease must be. But when it comes to our physical diseases, then if somebody has to announce that over the radio station or in the newspaper or magazine or somewhere, there's going to be a discussion about heart or discussion about weight, then all those weightless candidates, they all will be very much interested and they'll start listening. How can we reduce weight? The best way to reduce weight is eat less. What are the ways? What better way there is to reduce weight? In fact, I mentioned when we were returning from Madina Sharif, I saw people with huge bags. Some people's bags were like camels. So I said, there in South Africa, we hear of weightless for reduction of weight, body weight. But I intend seriously starting what weightless for bags, for people traveling for Hajj and Umrahs. That their bags must first go through the weightless program. Nevertheless, so what I was saying is this, that when it comes to our physical diseases, we are so concerned. Somebody must just get a slight pain on the chest and we say, rush to the doctor, quickly go to the doctor. Have your heart checked up, go to the cardiologist. And if the cardiologist says that your arteries are clogged, then you say, operate quickly before the person goes. Agar jism tera zara ho alil, hakeemo ki sunta hai tu bedaleel. Agar jism tera zara ho alil, hakeemo ki sunta hai tu bedaleel. Dawa talkh se talkh peeta hai tu. Dawa talkh se talkh peeta hai tu. Khushamat tabibo ki karta hai tu. Agar jism tera zara ho alil. There's a little bit of ache and pain and sickness in your body. Hakeemo ki sunta hai tu bedaleel. You don't even ask that Hakeem sahab and the doctor for proof. First give me some proof that this medication, it has helped so many people and these are the ingredients of the medication. You don't ask him all the details, where it was manufactured, where it came from and all the details. If that Hakeem sahab, the doctor says this medication is for your sickness, you take it. You chase after those surgeons and those practitioners and those specialists. Please give me an appointment. Please give me an appointment. Sometimes they say, we are too busy. They say, no, but please, my pain is becoming very severe. Hakeemo ki sunta hai tu bedaleel. Dawa talkh se talkh peeta hai tu. No matter how bitter that medicine, but you take that medicine because you believe that there is cure and shifa in that medicine. Dawa talkh se talkh peeta hai tu. Khushamat tabibo ki karta hai tu. So when it comes to our physical ailments, then that is what we do. تیری عقل دنیا میں کیا کر گئی مگر دین میں وہ کہاں مر گئی تیری عقل دنیا میں کیا کر گئی مگر دین میں وہ کہاں مر گئی When Allah Ta'ala gave you aqal, you use that aqal and intelligence and what you did. Look at the huge planes you are flying. Soon there will be one with 680 or 9 or 700 passengers that will be flying. Look at the moon, you have reached the moon. You are going to Mars and where you are going. And what kind of inventions you made. And look at all the technology. Every day there is something new on the market. What you did with your aqal. But when it came to deen, what happened to your aqal? Recognition of your Allah, what happened to your aqal? Recognition of your great prophet, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then what happened to your aqal? When it came to obedience to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which was guaranteed to give you success, dominance. Whenever we quote the lives of the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhu ajma'in, then see how they became dominant and how they ruled over the continents and how they were successful in getting the empires to fall at their feet. Now we use their examples and then we wait for those same, that we wait for that same help that came to them from Allah Ta'ala, that same victory that came to them. But we don't compare their actions and our actions. Show me one Sahabi of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that did not make 5 times Salat. One Sahabi. Even the Munafiqeen in the time of Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't have the courage to stay away from the Masjid at the time of Salat because they would have been recognized that they are Munafiqeen. And look at our situation. 70% of the Ummah, there's no Salat. Na namaz hai, na roza, na zakat hai, na hajj. نہ نماز ہے نہ روزہ نہ زکاة ہے نہ حج تو خوشی پھر اس کی کیا ہے کہ کوئی جنٹ ہے تو کوئی جج If that person has got namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, fulfillment of the rights of his parents, of his children, of the neighbors, of the society, the person is honest, is truthful, is charitable, is sincere, is dedicated, is committed, is serving mankind. Then we will be extremely proud whether the person is a judge or he becomes a prime minister or he becomes a king of the time. Nothing wrong. We will be very happy. We will give him, we will congratulate him. If the person becomes the greatest scientist, but he is a good Muslim, he has recognized his creator, then we will congratulate him. But when he hasn't got all these things in his life and he's got degrees upon degrees, wealth and property, he's got everything else, but he hasn't got deen. Then in the eye of the people, he may have some kind of respectability. But in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, there is no respectability. When the person doesn't perform his salat, then it is like the person hasn't got the head in his body. It is like no head in the body. So the person is already dead. So what I'm saying is that, this pride is something that destroyed a lot of people. When the people thought that we have got everything now, so what is the need for Allah Ta'ala in our lives? We have become independent. That is what they thought. Why? This ayat discusses that same thing. I thought we will discuss this ayat, but we went somewhere else. But wherever Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala takes the mind, I believe that it is the best for me and for whoever is listening. So these ayat, that is what it discusses. But unfortunately we don't have the time. But where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ Give to them the parable, the example, the analogy of those two men. One of them, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, we gave to one of them. جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ مِنْ أَعْنَابِ Two gardens. Two gardens we gave him of grapevine. One of them we gave two gardens of grapevine. وَحَفَفْنَاهُمَا بِنَخْلٍ And we surrounded it with date palms. وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا And in between them, we put plantations, whether it's corn, whatever you can think of, beautiful fields. And then again Allah Ta'ala says, كِلْتَ الْجَنَّتَيْنْ آتَتْ أُكُلَهَا وَلَمْ تَزْلِمْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا Both these gardens produced, brought out their produce, and they failed not therein, the least. That means there was nothing that was held back by Allah Ta'ala. He allowed them to produce as much as possible. And also Allah Ta'ala caused a nehar or a river to flow between them, to gush forth between them. We look at all these things. I'm not going to discuss it tonight because there's no time. But the gist of which is that after that, pride came into this person, to whom Allah Ta'ala has blessed with all these things. Pride came into his heart. I will discuss it, inshallah, in one of the, not next Monday, but the following Monday's majlis, inshallah. So pride came into his heart, and now he started telling his friend. I'm just giving you, I said the gist, no meaning, translation, nothing. That he started now in an argument telling his friend that Allah Ta'ala, that I have got more wealth than you. And I've got more following, lots of people also behind me. I'm a superpower. Look at the power I have, how many people at my beck and call, how many people bow down to my command, how many people the moment I say stand, then they stand, and I say sit, they sit. Everybody at my beck and call. And plenty of wealth also. Look at my gardens, look at my wealth, look at my property, look at the fortune that I have. So his friend told him that, why don't you say, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. When you enter your garden, then why don't you say, MashaAllah. If you think that I got less than you, if you think that I don't have much property, if you think I don't have much gardens, if you think I don't have much wealth, and I don't have much fortune, then when you enter your garden, at least you should say, MashaAllah, that whatever I have, it is a gift of Allah Ta'ala, it's a bounty of Allah Ta'ala. He blessed me with it. It's not that I came from the mother's stomach with all these things. It is He who blessed me with all these things. And all power is again with Him. And if Allah Ta'ala wills, then He can take everything away. He can send some storm. He can send some disaster. He can send some calamity. He can send some destruction from the heavens or from the earth. Whatever kind of calamity Allah Ta'ala wishes, He can send. And He can snatch away everything. And perhaps that is what is going to happen to. Inshallah, when we discuss the translation and meaning, we'll do it. But this is what he started telling him. And says, probably Allah Ta'ala wants to give me, or He will give me, in this world or in the hereafter, better than your gardens. So this person said, no, in the first place, I don't ever believe that what I got will ever be destroyed. It will remain with me forever and ever. Abada, Hamesha, forever and ever this will remain with me. And if by chance I have to return to Allah Ta'ala, if Allah Ta'ala has to call me back, if I have to return, then that Allah who gave me so much here, it shows that He was very pleased with me, otherwise He wouldn't have given to me. He would have only have given to me because He's very pleased with me. So if He gave it to me here, He'll give me better than this in return in the year after. And then the calamity came. The disaster struck. The fire came. It burnt up everything. Everything collapsed. And His vine and the palms and everything up to the root, up to the foundation, everything was gone. When Allah Ta'ala's azab hits, whether it is through a cyclone or whether it's through a tsunami or whether it's through the fire or whether it is a gale force wind, then the superpowers of the world cannot stop it. So pride caused the destruction. Then he starts making hi, ya laytani. Then he says, hi, I wish I hadn't associated partners in my Rabb. But the detail, inshallah, we'll discuss. But what I'm saying is that this pride was the cause of his destruction. And Allah Ta'ala doesn't mention these incidents in the Quran Sharif for lullaby. They listen to it and fall off to sleep. It is there to get us up from our slumber and sleep. It is to get us up, that we take lessons, that if Allah Ta'ala blesses a person with knowledge, blesses him with piety, blesses him with taqwa, blesses him with zikr, tilawat, ibadat, blesses him with wealth from which he's giving a lot of charities, blesses him with any kind of ni'mat, then the person appreciates that. There's nothing wrong if Allah Ta'ala makes a person rich and wealthy and he's fulfilling the rights of that wealth. There's nothing wrong. It's a gift of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala tests some people with shukr and some with sabr. Some people Allah Ta'ala takes them through the route of sabr, and I'll conclude on this. And some people Allah Ta'ala takes them through the route of shukr. I've mentioned this many times. That there's only two ways that a person can get to Allah Ta'ala. And that is the choice of Allah Ta'ala through which route he wants to take whom. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala gave him a huge kingdom. Such a kingdom that over the jinnat and over the creatures and over the animals of the jungle and over the fish of the sea, Allah Ta'ala gave him hukumat and government. And Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, and look at the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and so who had to go through so much of sabr in their lives. So Allah Ta'ala's choice, that is, that through which route he takes whom. For a Muslim and a mu'min, there's khair in both routes. Whether Allah Ta'ala takes him through the route of sabr or through the route of shukr, there's khair for him, there's goodness for him in both routes. We must never think that there is that everything is azab of Allah Ta'ala. For the pious, for the righteous, if the person is being put through some test and trial, then that is for elevation of his status. Allah Ta'ala wants to give him something better in return. Allah Ta'ala is testing him because he wants to give him something better. Or it's a forgiveness of his sins. Or Allah Ta'ala is going to ward off some other calamities. But whether it is, but for the pious, for the righteous, for the good Muslim, who is honest, who is truthful, who is sincere, the person who is trustworthy, the person who is not a cheat, who is not a thief. So therefore that person, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if he takes him through the route of sabr, meaning that he is tested with poverty, with ill health, with weakness, with sickness, with depression and with all kinds of problems, then that is for elevation of status. And it takes him to Allah Ta'ala. In that sickness, in that disease, in that poverty, in that trial, Allah Ta'ala is with him. Inna Allah ma'as sabireen. So either it is the root of sabr or it is the root of shukr. That Allah Ta'ala blesses plenty of wealth, good health, good children, good home, qualifications, degrees and good and everything good. So then that is a test now. How do you use that wealth? What do you do with that qualification? Do you become proud and arrogant? Do you walk on the surface of the earth of Allah like Fir'aun and Haman and Namrud and Qarun? Or do you humble yourself?
بے کیفی میں بھی تو ہم نے ایک کیف مسلسل دیکھا ہے بے کیفی میں بھی تو ہم نے ایک کیف مسلسل دیکھا ہے جس حال میں بھی وہ رکھتے ہیں اس حال کو اکمل دیکھا ہے
Whatever the condition, in whichever condition my Allah keeps me, I found that to be the best of all conditions. Of course, that doesn't mean that if a person is sick, he mustn't take medication. Or if he's poor, he mustn't go and make an effort in the bazaars and marketplaces. Or if he's a jahil, he mustn't go and acquire knowledge. He must make use of the means. This is a world of means, so make use of all the means. After that, whatever condition befalls him, he must accept it. And he must consider that to be the best for him. If health is good for him, Allah Ta'ala will give him good health. If not, then no matter how much he tries, whatever medication he tries, and how good food he eats, but he'll still stay sick. So that is what we mean, that he must be pleased that it's coming from my Allah. Jis haal mein bhi wo rakhte hai, us haal ko akmal dekha hai.
Jis raah se wo le jaate hai, us raah ko ashal dekha hai. Jis raah se wo le jaate hai, us raah ko ashal dekha hai. جس راہ کو ہم تجویز کریں اس راہ کو اسقل دیکھا ہے
The road through which my Allah takes me, it is the best of all routes, the easiest of all routes. And the road through which I choose for myself, I found that to be the most difficult one. So the person makes use of the means Allah Ta'ala has created. But after making use of the means, then he doesn't demand from Allah Ta'ala that what I want you have to give to me. Whatever Allah Ta'ala wills, He will give. Allah is not going to have a parliamentary meeting or have an assembly or is going to make mashwara with all of us. Allah Ta'ala knows what is best for us. But we have to stay away from sins. These days we don't want to stay away from sins. And when calamities and disasters and all strike, then we say, but why is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala not listening to us? So this is what we have to understand. That Allah Ta'ala is willing. And that is what Allah Ta'ala wants. He doesn't love punishment. He doesn't want to punish. What will he get in enjoyment in punishment? مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ But then we also have to take those steps towards Allah Ta'ala. Make sincere tawbah. He is forgiving. He is merciful. He is kind. He is loving. He is compassionate. He dearly loves those servants of his who shed few tears of repentance before.
اپنے مالک سے اٹھ کر کے فریاد کر دل کو سجدے میں رو رو کے آباد کر اپنے مالک سے اٹھ کر کے فریاد کر دل کو سجدے میں رو رو کے آباد کر
So that's all Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants. His servants to return, to come back to Him. And then his treasures are unlimited. He will open those treasures for us, provided we seek it from him in the proper way. May Allah Ta'ala give me, give you and the entire ummah the tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah there is zikr majlis on Thursday night after Isha. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin mubarik wa sallim. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. Oh my beloved Allah, oh my Rahim Allah, oh my Kareem Allah, oh my most forgiving Allah, most compassionate Allah, most loving, caring Allah, most beautiful Allah. Forgive each and every one of us. You dearly love forgiveness of the sins of the sinners when they turn towards you with repentance. My Allah, we are ashamed of the sins that we have committed in our lives. We are not bragging about our sins. We are not justifying our sins. We are confessing before you. And you dearly love those who confess and seek forgiveness. Ya Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Forgive our parents, our wives and children, our brothers and sisters, our family members, and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my beloved Allah, oh my Rahim Allah, forgive the sins of our eyes, sins of our ears, of our tongues, of our hands and feet, of our heart and mind. Forgive our major sins, our minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of night. Even if there is a tiny little black ant crawling on a pitch black rock in the darkest of all nights, my beloved Allah, you are aware of the movement of that ant. How can you not be aware of our movements? By Allah, it is just your compassion and kindness and tolerance that you do not seize us the moment we committed sins. Ya Allah, you give us an opportunity to repent, to make tawbah, to return to you. You could have brought humiliation, disgrace and suffering upon us the moment we committed sins. Ya Allah, you are loving. You really love and you really love forgiveness. Ya Allah, forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, we are extremely weak servants of yours. But my Allah, man has made computer chips with millions of pieces of information. But he has also made a delete button. When he presses the delete button, my Allah, all the information is deleted. Ya Allah, delete our sins from our hearts. Ya Allah, bless us all with good health. We are physically ill, we are spiritually sick. Clean and purify our hearts of malice, of greed, of pride, of arrogance, of envy, of jealousy, of evil passions and desires. Ya Allah, put the love of good deeds into our hearts. Put the hatred of sins into our hearts. Ya Allah, bless us with good health, spiritual and physical. Those who are sick and ailing, whether they are in hospitals, in homes, in clinics, amongst us, wherever in the world, Ya Allah, bless each and everyone with complete shifa. Ya Allah, shifa is in your hands. Ya Allah, you have kept effect in dua and dawa, but Ya Allah, shifa is in your hands. Ya Allah, bless us with prosperity, with happiness, with contentment, with satisfaction, with your qurb and marifat, with yaqeen in you. Fill our hearts with your love and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with your love and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make us obedient to you and your beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bless us with all the goodness of this world and of the hereafter. Don't deprive us of the goodness of this world of the hereafter. Ya Allah, bless the entire mankind with hidayat. Bless entire mankind with iman and Islam. Make everyone worthy of entry into Jannat. Remove the difficulties, the hardships and the problems that mankind is facing around the globe. Ya Allah, wherever they may be, whether they are in China, America, whether they are in Africa or any part of the world, whoever is suffering, going through difficulties, hardships and problems, Ya Allah, remove the difficulties, hardships and problems. Ya Allah, we know that our sins are the major cause of our problems. Ey mere pyare Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, my most forgiving Allah, we are turning towards you with repentance. Ya Allah, change the condition of our hearts. Change the condition of our hearts. Fill our hearts with the nur of taqwa, with the nur of iman, with the nur of zikr and tilawat, nur of ibadat, service to mankind. Ya Allah, those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Those who have children and the children are gone onto drinks and drugs and vices and evils, Ya Allah, bring them back onto Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Bring them back onto Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Oh my beloved Allah, those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plentiful of halal rizq and remove the financial difficulty. Give us the tawfiq to pray 5 times a day, to fast in Ramadan, to give zakat if due, to go for hajj if farz, to fulfill the rights of our children, our families, our parents, our wives, our brothers and sisters, and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, both Muslim and non-Muslim. Ya Allah, let us not be the cause of injury and pain to anybody without justification. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and akhirah. We have to die one day. There's no question of remaining here forever and ever. Don't let the angel of death, oh my Allah, find us in a disco, in a cinema, in a theater, in a gambling den, in adultery, in fornication, in some filthy film on the internet, or in some filthy film on the television, or some filthy site on the internet. Ya Allah, don't cause any embarrassment to my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah because of our actions and deeds. Ya Allah, He who sacrificed so much for us, so much for us. Ya Allah, when He is informed of the condition of His Ummah, how much of pain and injury it must be causing to you. Ya Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, don't cause any embarrassment to Him because of our actions. Ya Allah, when the time of our death comes, take us to Madinah Tayyibah. At the Rosa Mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With as-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya khayr khalq. Ya Allah, let our souls depart. Bless us with burial in Jannatul Baqi. If it's not Muqaddar Day, wherever it may be, let it be a state that you are pleased with us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made du'as for us. Ya Allah, bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless his entire ummah with all that goodness. And from all the mischief and corruption and fitnas, he asked for protection. Protect us and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Accept all the works of deen that are taking place. Deen ke tamam kaamu ko qubool farma. Kaam karne walon ko ikhlas ki daulat se mala mal. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi.